This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, look at Steve Kerr.
Oh, Steve, don't get thrown out. Englewood.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You look at the top picks, except for the Jets, are on to a new coach.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Cowher, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Coming up, Michigan head coach Kyle Whittingham. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Always love having Bill Cowher on the program, as we did in hour number one. I go way back with him, like a car seat to Thursday Night Football and on the NFL Network when it was a CBS product for a couple of years. And he was the first coach to ever stop by the NFL Network set after a Super Bowl win, because Bill Belichick went right past us the first 2 years. Bob Kraft stopped by with the trophy. So I've known Bill for a very long time. Schlereth, I've known for 20 plus years as well. Our next guest, I've never met, but he has no idea. He's my best friend forever. My new BFF, the head coach of Michigan football. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Whittingham is here on the program. How you doing, coach?
I'm doing good, Rich. How are you doing?
Are you aware that we're best friends forever? Are you aware of that?
I am now.
Very good.
Friendship accepted. How about that?
Fantastic. I have committed to you in the friendship portal. That's I've committed. I'm all in. I'm all in. And I come free. I come free, too. Right. I work cheap as a
That's
friend.
That's refreshing. That's very refreshing.
Okay. You finally got your breath and your legs under you? Coach, what do you think?
More or less. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Drinking from a fire hose, obviously, the first few weeks. But things are starting to get settled in. We've got all our new early enrollees in here. We'll get going in the weight room next week, and okay. As soon as that happens, then everything is business as usual.
All right, if you don't mind, I want to hit a little bit of the way back machine here to way back in mid-December. and I'm sure you've heard this from a bunch of Michigan folk like myself that are basically throwing themselves at you, thankful that you are in our world. My hair was on fire, whatever, my remaining hair was on fire based on everything that was going on. And then I read on my phone an alert that you were leaving Utah, retiring. And I'm like, wait a minute, what in the world is this? Because I immediately thought there could be some sort of rescue plan for our program through you. Were you still thinking of coaching on that day that I'm reading this on my phone? Coach?
I was. I felt like I had some gas in the tank, and that's why I didn't use the word retire. You know, it was a step down situation at Utah. I just felt the time was right. You know, we're coming off a really good year, and I'd been there a long time, and felt that maybe it was time for the program to have a new voice, a new leader. We had named our defensive coordinator, Morgan Scally, the coach in waiting, probably about a year and a half prior to that. So I thought, hey, you know, let's end on a positive and not be that guy that wears out his welcome.
Okay. And so in that regard, were you reaching out to Michigan at that point?
You know what? I don't know what the first contact was through my agent. And so it was shortly thereafter when I stepped down that he said, hey, do you have interest in Michigan? And I said, who wouldn't? I mean, it's the top five job in the country. And really, you can count on one hand the number of schools that I would have been interested in, because I was not completely bent and determined that, hey, I got to keep coaching. But for the right situation, I was more than willing to listen. And this is absolutely the right situation here.
Why do you think? Why is it a right situation?
Michigan. It's Michigan. Like I said, a top five job, excellent athletes, phenomenal tradition, resources. You got it all here.
I mean, I was strolling through the building there just back in October, brought my youngest son to the game against Wisconsin. And I mean, the facilities there are nothing like they used to be. It's beautiful. There's a lot going on there. I'm wondering what you thought of also when I saw you and your wife walk through the big house after you came, you went through Chrysler watching the hoops team. You went across the street and went in the football stadium. What was striking you when you walked in there?
Coach. Well, just like I said, tradition. You know, the place reeks of tradition. It's, you know, one of the most traditional programs, if not the most, in the country. The Big House, we've played there three times actually during my time at Utah. But to see it in that setting, you know, with nobody there, and just it's an awesome sight. The Chrysler Arena was incredible. The basketball team, man, what more can you say about them? Number one in the country, and I get to go to the hockey game this weekend. I'm the puck dropper. I'm the honorary puck dropper. Yeah, for the number one hockey team in the country. So we're playing Notre Dame Friday and Saturday night, so I'm fired up about that.
Well, I mean, and it's not too far from your office. Yost Ice Arena is just across the parking lot right there. And that's one of the greatest barns, by the way, anywhere. If anybody wants to ever see a hockey game in an old school barn, that's one of them. Kyle Whittingham of Michigan football here on the Rich Eisen Show. And last night, again, I'm just so happy sometimes when I'm looking at my phone, which I'm not supposed to do with my children being around. But I saw Bryce Underwood posting he's staying. What was your conversation with the kid, Coach?
Well, you know, he's the first guy I met with. I went down to the bowl site when they were down in the Citrus Bowl and sat down with Bryce. What a great kid. What a young man, I guess. And what a great attitude. He was saying all the right things. And I just had a good feeling at that time that, you know, he was more than likely going to return with us, and made it official last night. And that gives us a great start on retention and you know, trying to make as many of the players here in the program as we can stick with us.
And I'm going to ask you a development question here. Even though he's, you know, he's just committed to stay, and you've only seen him with your own two eyes, I imagine, once, and that was that bowl game against Texas. How can you coach him up? How can you get him to the point where, again, I watched him against Ohio State. It didn't seem like, to be honest with you, he was seeing the field very well. It was a big-time environment, as we all know. He's used to that. He's used to the bright lights since he was a prep star. How can you coach him up? What do you see there that you can?
Well, that's our job. I mean, the raw talent is the, you know, the ceiling is so high. Jason Beck, our offensive coordinator, is an absolute master at developing the quarterback. He played quarterback. The quarterbacks that he has trained and worked with have all had success. Devin Dampier last year was a tremendous player for us. He ended up eighth or ninth in the country in QBR. So he's in good hands here at Michigan. I can promise you that. And Jason will make sure we smooth out, you know, some of the mechanics and some of the things that he does need to work on.
So what is that? Honestly, I really would love to get in the nitty gritty. Footwork? I mean, what are you seeing? What have you seen on film?
A little bit of that, a little bit of footwork, a little bit of spine angle, the processing, you know, going through the progression. Now, one thing about Jason's scheme, it's very user-friendly. You don't have to immerse yourself in it for a couple years before you get it. I mean, there's not much of a learning curve, but yet it's effective. We were, what, fifth in the nation last year in total O, fourth in scoring O, second in rushing O. So he knows exactly what he wants to do and how to get there. And in this day and age of the portal, where you have so many new guys, you better have a very user-friendly system on both sides of the ball. You can't be complicated anymore. You got to plug in 40, 50 new guys, and they better be able to help and contribute right away. And if you got too much thinking going on, that's not a good situation.
Defensively, what are we looking at for Michigan?
Four down front, a 4-2 nickel setup, which is what 90% of the people base out of these days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's geared towards 11 personnel. If we go to 12 personnel, then we go ahead and jump into a 4-3, and you know, we substitute with the offense, but it bases out of that 4-2-5 scheme.
Okay, and what sort of style can we expect here? Again, I know what University of Utah has done, but Big Ten country, is it any different, or really it's just we're still talking about a football field that's 100 yards long and things of that nature?
The latter, exactly that. A lot of pressure, a lot of man coverage, mixing some zone pressures, a little bit of split safety look, and there you have it. And Jay Hill, our coordinator, I recruited him at Utah. Was an outstanding player there. Finished playing, wanted to become a GA. We hired him on as a GA. Finished his GA stint, and we had a full-time spot. Hired him for that, and he just kept working his way up through the ranks. His last 3 years, he was down in Provo at BYU and did a phenomenal job with their defense. And he's from my tree and played in our scheme. And the scheme has been tweaked a little bit along the way, but the real essence of it has stayed intact.
Okay, and you are aware, again, I understand your background here. You are aware you're not allowed to like Urban Meyer anymore. You're not allowed. You just, it's not, it's well, not be, cool. It's just not cool.
I better cancel my date with him on the podcast in this week. And I'm going to be on his podcast. I'll have to break the news to him.
Well, it wouldn't be news to him that I would say that to you. That is for sure. I mean, but that's, I understand you go way back like a car seat, but this is different now. You know what I mean? Like, is there anything else I could help you with the culture? How can I help you?
Well, coming from the rivalry that I just came from, saying go blue was not real natural, but okay. Now it's become second nature.
Yeah, so. You got to do that. Have you learned the victors yet? Have you learned the fight song?
Yes, I've been studying it. I can't verbatim say it word for word.
Understood. But you know, it's hail to the victors, valiant.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay, hail to the conquering heroes. You got this.
We played it round the clock when we played Michigan those three times when I was the
Did you really? To get your team ready for the nonstop marching band music and things of that nature?
Exactly. It must have worked because we were 3-0 against them.
So. Oh. Have a good night.
That's awesome.
So are you going to play the Ohio State fight song now? Is that the same thing? Or are you going to do what?
We may do that. We always have a little something up our sleeve, but that probably will be in the equation at some point.
Okay. And again, I know I'm stooping you down to my level. It's called Little Brother. That's Michigan State, right? You got that. You got to refer to them as Little Brother. And or by the way, let me do you this favor. Because you're a high class guy, I shouldn't be having you stoop down to my level here. But referring to Ohio State as Ohio really pisses them off. That's just one way where if you refer to them as Ohio, not Ohio State, that really gets them upset.
Gotcha. More so than the team down south, huh?
Well, I mean, we can still say their name. You know, like they're the ones who can't wear blue and, you know, and X out the letter M. They're the children, basically. We're the adults in the room, is what I'm saying. Okay, and if you come at it from that point of view, you can still maintain your class and just say to people, "What are you so upset about? I'm the classy guy here." You know what I mean? Like that's a way to go about it. Way to do it. Do you like deli food?
Love deli food.
Okay, absolutely. Have you heard of Zingerman's in town?
I have, and they were gracious enough to give me a $50 gift certificate when I first got on campus.
Okay.
And so
I'm doubling that. I would love for you to have free deli food on me, Kyle.
All right.
Okay.
I'll take
it. If I may be so, I don't know if I've just, did I commit a violation? I hope I didn't commit. I don't want to get
in
trouble.
NIL. We're good with that.
Yeah. Okay. And do you like Philly cheesesteaks? There's Mr.
I love a good Philly cheesesteak.
Mr. Spots. I've taken Chris there. Chris, you've been to Mr. Spots.
I have been. It was fantastic.
Okay. There's another, you got to go there. They would love to have you. What else? Have you spun the cube yet? Have you done that? Have you spun the cube?
Oh. Not familiar with it.
There's a cube that's right next to the Michigan Union. You spin it, and it starts the university. At least that's the theory, you know.
All right.
So this is the way. All right.
I will get that world.
Listen, I cannot tell you what sort of calming influence you've had in my life. Like, I literally was able to sleep better when you took the job. Have you sensed that from Michigan fans that you've come across?
I got a feel for that. Yes, I got a feel that we're it's time to put all the drama aside and get back to the business of just football and winning football games. Nothing, and these players would be commended, for the drama, for lack of a better word, that they've experienced the last 3 or 4 years. You know, to go 9-3 this past season, they've handled it very well, and they're to be commended.
All right, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you again of your deep past. You played for the Los Angeles Rams in 1987.
Yeah, scab ball. Yeah,
okay, well, you played for the Rams, and I don't know, it made the rounds that your teammate was Suge Knight. Is that true?
That is true. Now, I don't know, I'm not an internet guy. I'm not a rapper. I don't know what exactly that means.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's him right there. There you see him right there on the right.
Yes.
So, your teammates.
You and he have taken different career paths to 2026. Oh, we could just put it that way. But any you like that, TJ? You see any recollections of being a teammate of Suge's back
Zero.
In the day?
Zero recollection.
Okay. Very good. Well, I just had to throw that out there. But you had do you still have the neck roll from back in the day?
You know what it is? It's in a duffel bag somewhere in my garage.
Okay. Well, we'll take that. If you want to autograph that, we'll take it for our man cave out here or anything,
It's yours.
Because we're BFFs now. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Right. I accepted that. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Well, I am a Michigan man of my word. I was told I would get you off the show at 15 minutes past the hour. I've got 8 seconds left. I don't want to take up another second of your time because I might feel like I'm stunting the growth of the program. So thanks for the time.
Appreciate you, Rich. Thank you for having me on.
I thank you for taking the job. I welcome you and your family to the University of Michigan, if I may have the temerity to be such to welcome you. And go blue, sir.
There you go. Go blue.
It's Kyle Whittingham, everybody, the head coach of the University of Michigan football, as he goes off and says goodbye. And he looks healthy and happy. And I'm thrilled about all that.
Good.
There he goes.
As he should be.
On time. On time. What do you think?
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm ecstatic.
Here's what I feel now after learning the Suge Knight thing, Chris. I feel like someone's got to show, maybe Bryce, someone's got to show Coach the Suge Source Award video, right? And then he goes and recruits, and he can just use that same line, you know, come to Michigan. If you don't want to coach all up in the videos.
All up in the videos.
Dancing. You know, you don't want your coach all up on TikTok, making Instagrams. Come to Michigan.
I like it.
I'm sold.
Cosign.
I'm in. We're gonna take this clip and send it.
We should.
We gonna.
And then he can do the other show things, like maybe hold somebody by their.
No.
I was thinking more like top hat. He could wear blue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
Suge Knight and Kyle Whittingham were on the same Rams team during the strike of 1987.
Who would have thunk it?
Not me.
Different career paths in 2020.
You like that one? There's only one. There's a certain delicate way to put it.
There is.
Listen, I don't want anything going wrong or sideways with this man. Certainly not anything that comes from his appearance on this program. And that I just wanted to get deep into the nitty gritty about what is his plan for Bryce Underwood. That's what I want. And then I want him to understand what he means to the to all of us here in the University of Michigan world. And then at the end of the day, this Urban Meyer friendship, it's got to go. It's got to go. No, he's going to go on his podcast. Okay. Sounds good. But that's the beautiful part about this thing, too. Is that all the Ohio State fans, or the Ohio fans, all of them, they know we got the right guy. Now, can we win football games? I don't know. But in terms of all the holy heck that had broken loose when we were in New York City.
Oh, man.
I was a basket case.
That was crazy.
I laid it all out on the air. Yeah. You know, I just... That's my default. Whenever there's something that's emotional, I'll just show the emotion. I mean, that's my default.
That was a wild night.
Yeah. And then a wild day, and then the next day, and then we're wondering what the hell's happening and who we're going for, and thank goodness. But it made it seem like he was retiring, and he was done. And he's like, no, I was thinking of coaching on the spot. And I'm glad that we landed on him, and he landed on or with us. And he knows good deli food. $50.
I mean,
is that a sandwich? Like, a sandwich for him and his wife?
We put a couple of zeros on.
What are you talking about?
What are we doing?
$50.
But you're doubling it.
I am. Yep. I'm sending that right now.
Who are you saying?
Let's take a commercial break.
General to the to the sports information director.
Yeah, no, it's Shem Beckler Hall.
Okay.
I know where his office is.
That's true. I forgot.
Again, it's across. It's if you walk out the back, there's Chrysler, and after that is the football stadium, and if you want to walk out the front door past Bo's statue, there's a Yost Ice Arena.
Yeah, okay.
I got to take you to Michigan. I took him once. You're not allowed.
I had a great time.
I've been in the Big House.
But you're not allowed. You're not allowed.
I didn't beat Michigan when I saw him.
You're not allowed.
In the Big House. Yeah,
it was 10 years ago this fall.
What was?
Us going to Michigan.
Was it really?
10 years ago?
That's right. When Jim had me speak to the team and I blacked out.
September 16.
10 years. Woof.
Damn.
It's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Well, I went back with Coop in...
Big House is great.
But you didn't speak to the team that time, did you?
No.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
No. I just went as a civilian.
You're no civilian.
I was an honorary captain.
You're not a civilian.
Jim invited us to hang with the team and watch 8 Mile.
We did.
We watched 8 Mile with the team before...
We ate with the team. We did movie night.
Right?
That's pretty dope. It was awesome.
And then you remember the game against Central Florida.
It was raining. We got these cool Jumpman jackets.
And Central Florida went ripped off this run on their first possession of the game. And that's when it first hit me, like, we can't lose with me being in the honorary captain.
That's bad.
That can't happen.
Is it me?
Then it was kind of over after that.
Then it was.
Yeah.
All right. Memory lane.
Okay.
I'm just ecstatic. Can I talk about Kyle Whittingham all day?
Sure.
It is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right. We'll take a break.
Silver Fox.
Hey, coming at you. Maize and Blue, but this whole business of liking Urban.
Oh, Rich.
Got to work on that.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Back here in the Rich Eisen Show on our radio simulcast. That was great for me. Hopefully for you. I need a cigarette, and I don't smoke. Kenny in Massachusetts is here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, good afternoon, Rich.
What's up?
Hey, I'm calling because I'm a Dolphins fan, and I have an idea for how to solve the Tua debacle.
By the way, the Tua debacle. Is what you're saying.
The Tubacle. It wasn't me trying, that was me being dumb. Anyway, I think that something I have not seen suggested is something that's rare in the NFL, but it's happened with the Brock Osweiler trade, right? Trade him and a valuable asset. And I can't think of a player that I'd honestly put on a no trade list for that or a pick. I'm looking at the top two, like the top teams with cap space. My eye catches the Raiders and the Rams, right, who have $180 million respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders, right, maybe they say, hey, you know, for whatever reason, not that I would say this, they don't want Mendoza or Dante Moore.
Kenny, let me stop you. Let me stop you, Kenny, because you seem like a nice guy. Nobody's trading for Tua. Who would do that? Who would say, we will take that contract on, even if they send assets, which, by the way, I understand you said the Brock Osweiler. Don't forget, the Rams sent assets with Jared Goff for Stafford. You know, that was the ultimate, like, oh, my God, Goff's career is over because they had to throw in draft choices with Goff for Stafford. Because Goff's contract was so significant, the Lions needed that to take it on. But Goff was at least in a Super Bowl, man. I mean, Goff at least stared down Mahomes on a Monday Night Football game and won it. You know, and that was before the offense began to explode. I mean, Goff showed the ability that we've yet to see from Tua, to be very honest with you. And thanks for the call, Kenny, in Massachusetts, just to set this thing up. I mean, for sure, Tua is a talented guy, but at this point in time, he's insanely expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the answer is going to be, but that's for the new general manager to figure out. Certainly, when Tua's open to the idea of leaving, I mean, this quote has made the rounds. I don't think he made it on camera. We scoured it to look for it everywhere. And I haven't even seen it on the ESPN site either. When asked if he wanted a fresh start after the events of this season, I guess he was in front of his locker yesterday, quote, "That would be dope. I would be good with it." And just to make sure that, you know, everybody heard him right, apparently the Miami Herald or a reporter reached out to him asking if he was referring to a fresh start with another team. He confirmed. That's what I mean. Didn't go so far as that he said he would request a trade. You know, it's obvious when they bunch him for the final three games of a season, it's like, we're done here because we don't want, you know, we'll figure out if we aren't done here. But one way that we would definitely not be done here with you is if you get hurt right now and we're forced to keep you. Remember, that's what kept Garoppolo around on San Francisco, is he got surgery and they were pissed about it until they needed him again. Mm-hmm. And then stuck with the team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led to the Purdy year, crazily enough. So I mean, he's so expensive. I don't have this, you know, the cap numbers in front of me.
Well, I'll tell you. Hold on.
But I mean, it would have to be somebody who falls so in love with him. And he's a lovable guy in terms of, you know, his personality. I mean, but the issues that appeared out of his play this year just finally caused his relationship with McDaniel to be viewed through the lenses, McDaniel would say, of, you know, of the coach glasses, that he had to put his personal feelings for Tua aside and basically say, we're done. We're going to see what Quinn Ewers can do and then what the new general manager may say.
If he is released pre-June 1st, it's $99.2 million in dead cap.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, a post-June 1 trade, however, saves the Dolphins $43 million.
I got it, but which team would say, we'll save you from cap hell? And we'll take your guy off your hands, because that's better than drafting one or finding another veteran that's less expensive. You know, and that's for the new general manager to deal with. What do you think, new GM? And apparently in that meeting might be Mike McDaniel, because he said he's part of the interview process for the new GM. And when they fired Chris Greer right before the trade deadline, after Tua and the Dolphins looked terrible against the Ravens on that Thursday night, and they fired him, I think, the Friday morning. I thought that would be the end of McDaniel, because when you hire a new GM, they want to bring in their coach, but they love McDaniel, and he's going to stick around. And he says he's going to be part of the GM search, which is unique. That doesn't happen very much. And he had this to say about bringing in another quarterback, too.
In 2026, I think there'll be competition for our starting quarterback. What that is and how it looks, there's a lot that remains to be seen. You know, we have it's the most important position on the football field, and you have to make sure that you do everything possible to get the best person out there on the field. Who that is, whether they're in-house or somewhere else, you know, that's something that we'll be extremely diligent on. But I know that there will be competition for those reins. That much I do know.
He's the coach, so he'll say there's a competition. And that, I assume, Tua would think is not dope. So we'll keep an eye on that. That monitors at Bears checking it out. Because, again, you know, when you look at a situation, it's normally the GM hires the coach, not the coach part of the hiring of the GM. Like, say, in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the New York Giants bouncing Daboll, but Joe Shane is staying. And every press conference he has, I guess, until he hires a new coach, he'll be asked the same question. He was asked it after they fired Daboll, and I'm assuming they asked him, you know, they did ask him today. Why you? Why are you still around? I mean, how many times can a New York media ask basically the general manager, how are you still here, sir? Roll it.
for me, it's, you know, early on I made mistakes. I'm fortunate to have great ownership here where you're allowed to stub your toe and try to course correct. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to add a franchise quarterback. You've been able to add a, you know, number one receiver in Malik Nabers, who, you know, again, I'm looking forward to getting him back. And there are, you know, the defensive line, the pass rushers, there's pieces in place that also make this an attractive job. So looking at where we're going, where the build is, what the plan is moving forward, and seeing the vision through is why I think that's the case, Art.
That's why he's still there. Mm. And I guess then they ask him, while you're still here and choosing another head coach, how did the last time that you went through this help you with this time around?
Having this runway has really helped. You know, there's not a lot of positives of, you know, making a in-season coaching change. But having this runway to really do a deep dive on, you know, a wide array of candidates, you know, sit in my office and watch Thursday press conferences for coordinators, you know, integration of AI on some things that we've utilized. It's going to be a very thorough search. I feel really good about the information we've collected already. There's some really good candidates, you know, again, on, you know, both sides of the ball, collegiately. We're going to look everywhere.
Collegiately. I said it yesterday. You gotta call Kurt Cignetti and just be told no. He would just be such a massive hit. A massive hit in New Jersey, in the New York area. They would love him. He just has this Parcells way about him, an old school gruff sort of way that I think would play really well in that neck of the woods. And then outside of that, you know, go ahead and hit it.
What were they really thinking?
Joe Shane would love to say this. All right, you see Jackson Dart, you see Scataboo, do you see Malik Nabers, do you see I traded for Brian Burns, do you see Thibodeau still here, do you see Dex? I know he didn't have a great season. I know Abdul Carter didn't rack up, you know, he sometimes racked up more off the field headlines about you know, his tardiness than his sacks, but he's still Abdul friggin' Carter. I think, as a matter of fact, he led all rookies in quarterback rushes and hits and things of that nature. But the bottom line is, I just want to say this to the New York media. Go talk to the Jets, because we're not them. Did you see the Jets? Are you serious? You're coming at me? Look at the Jets.
I hate this team.
Yeah, I mean, that too, yeah.
Could Joe, wouldn't that be great if Joe Shane basically said, what are you bothering me for? I know we haven't done very well, and I'm still here, but do you see what's going on with the Jets?
You should. Nothing. That'd be hilarious.
Because they're picking before us, and their numbers from this year are positively absurd. This is the problem. When you are the coach and the general manager of a team that is second overall on the clock, which is unbelievable. The Jets were this bad and aren't picking first overall. That it's tough to, it's like the proverbial, as my parents would say, I could still hear my mom saying it, you know, it's like selling ice in winter. Is the phrase she would always use growing up, and she still does. God bless her. It's like selling ice in winter. When you know you just put the graphic up. So their leading passer. Let's start with the positive. Their leading rusher, Breece Hall, had a 1,000-yard season. It's the first season the Jets have had a 1,000-yard rusher since Chris Ivory in the middle of last decade.
Whoa.
Okay. Oof. But their leading passer, who they benched midway through the season, had 1,259 passing yards, okay, in Justin Fields. And Garrett Wilson, who hasn't caught a ball since week 6, led the team in receiving with 395 receiving yards. And as we mentioned yesterday, since the league started counting interceptions, till somebody had the bright idea in 1933, listening to a fireside chat, saying, you know what, maybe we should start counting interceptions in the NFL. The Jets are the first team to ever go through an entire season with no interceptions. And just to throw it one more time out here as to just how remarkably bad that is. The number of passing yards Justin Fields had to lead the Jets this season, 1,259, is 153 more yards than what Matt Stafford had in weeks 14 through 16. Oof. When he was at Arizona, played against Detroit at home, and then went to Seattle in that epic game. He had 1,106 yards in those three games alone. And in those three games, Puka Nacua had 573 yards receiving, which is 178 more than what Garrett Wilson had the entire season to lead the Jets. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on about all this, but I do want to hand it off to the gentleman selling the ice in winter, and that's the head coach, Aaron Glenn, who had this to say.
For our fans, listen, again, there's a vision that we have, and there's a trust that we have in that also. You know, and I expect and I will want our fans to have a total trust in us and being able to do that. And we have to earn that, too. And our plan is to do that. And we don't expect to have another season like this here. You know, so we're looking forward to this offseason, looking forward to getting to work and using the draft capital that we have and the money we have in free agency to continue to build what we've been trying to build.
I honestly love the guy. And that goes back to the playing days. I don't know him all that well. I think he deserves better than to have to go out and have to say stuff like that. It just rings hollow to a team that's like, really, we're going through another rebuild. And he, you know, trust us. We got to build the trust. They were the first team in NFL history to lose five in a row by 23 or more points. But that's a mission accomplished, because they removed all, like, I keep telling you, NFL teams don't tank. What front offices tank? Front offices tank by removing players, by saying Garrett Wilson, I'm assuming he was, we're just not going to run the risk. You're out. Bless Breece Hall for being the guy to be on the field as the best offensive player by far on the team and carry the load. That alone should get him a second contract. From the Jets, and Darren Mooji, the general manager who traded away Sauce and traded away Quinn and Williams, and is now, he's on the clock. This guy is on the clock, because he's got to turn the players and the draft picks into players. All the picks, the one that they earned by trading away Sauce and Quinn and Williams, by having the second overall pick. There's no, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't know who it's going to be, because in terms of the trust, it's not just the fan base. It's going to be the free agent class and also college players. You heard what, you know, I mean, my goodness, Todd McShay basically saying no college player wants to come out and be a Jet is really tough to swallow. Darren Mooji, the general manager of the New York Jets, your friend, right? The man filling the Isaac shoes, who I think is three general managers ago in terms of Jets rebuilds.
I think that's right.
The original rebuilder. Jets. Yeah, trading away Darrell Revis back in the day is what he had to say.
I'm excited about the offseason as we go into it. Obviously, the draft capital we have, the cap space, and just being here now a year with AG, working with AG, the staff, getting to learn the staff, getting to learn the players, getting to learn this division. I feel more confident today than ever moving forward with what we have going.
Again, RES Consulting would help him learn the division, because it's just like, it's the Bills division and the Patriots have a good chance. And now, you know, the Patriots are atop the division and the Bills have a good chance. And I don't mean to pile on here, but it's just, again, the Jets are on the clock right now. This is it. Now, obviously, there'll be more Jets football, even if they do have to hit the reset button. But this is it. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It's not going to be Justin Fields. I don't know who it's going to be. The Falcons just Mac Jones is not walking through that door. They'd have to acquire him. And I don't think the Niners are going to flip him. I think the Niners are going to hold on to him. I think he proved his value there. I mean, would Malik Willis want to come to the Jets? Or do you want to come to New York and take the money? But who are you building around him? The Jets don't have the weaponry that the Packers have. The line is built, like the line is building. I don't know. Some a free agent's going to have to say yes, or you draft somebody. But get it right this time. They certainly have the picks to do it, and kudos to them for not firing everybody. I know you know Jets fans are pissed about what happened this season, but you put your trust in these two guys. They have set things up for the future, and we'll see. But now's the time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. We're back with your phone calls to wrap up this Tuesday and let you know about Wednesday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on ESPN Radio talking about Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. And yeah, the Packers have made the seventh seed and have made the use of it to make the playoffs and then haven't done with anything from it. But they're in the mix. They're division title worthy. They're a better team than most in the NFL. And LaFleur, I would just counsel Packers fans to like be careful what you wish for if you want him gone. If they lose to the Bears here, it will be a bitter pill to swallow. The guy's really good. If the son of Carmen decides to not re-sign him, and I think they will, he will be the next head coach of fill in the blank of one of the six teams. In a heartbeat. The Giants would be ecstatic if Matt LaFleur popped free. Are you kidding me? And at the end of the day, of all of his amazing qualities that I think he possesses, the one that I love the most is he loves water. He loves water.
Just telegraph.
His first round selection is always hydration. And that's important. You don't want to be cramping up. That's the one thing that's not going to happen in Soldier Field on Saturday night.
It's going to be cold.
It doesn't matter. You can still cramp in the cold. Yeah. Get out of here. Please.
They get blown out by Chicago.
Great. Then that would be the best thing for the Giants or any of the six teams looking for a head coach. Awesome. And then I guess what, the Packers would hire the defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley that's sitting there? Because he's going to get some run other places, I imagine.
Yeah.
As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. That's why I'm always proud to talk about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. HyundaiUSA.com is a website I'm asking you to go to, and please search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, because that Hyundai Hope isn't optional, it comes standard. So we've had two from Utah, right? Holly and Molly.
Yep.
Now here's a Mo from Ohio.
Oh.
Lima, Ohio. Mo, what's up? You there, Mo?
What's going on, my man? Rich, how you doing today?
How are you today?
Hey, Mo.
Good, sir. Good, sir. Hey, I'm a proud Wolverine fan living in Ohio.
Bless you, sir.
I happen to be a high school teammate of Desmond Howard and Elvis Gerbeck.
Well, that makes you awesome adjacent, Mo.
That's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Yeah. Yes, sir. I just want to commend the interview.
Thank you.
For Coach Witt, because me watching his press conference, I was a little disturbed, and my fellow Wolverine buddy here in town was trying to calm me down off the ledge, but I couldn't get over the fact of he's got to understand the Ohio situation here. There's no buddy-buddy here, and so I'm glad. I was thrilled to hear you bring up the point and kind of
Urban who?
You know, dig in a little bit.
Well, who's Urban? I don't know him. I know rural more than Urban.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Stupid.
That is stupid. You're not wrong. But I'm so happy I'm saying stupid things.
You're suburban.
You know what I mean?
You're in that phase.
Yes. There's a honeymoon going on right here. By the way, be quiet. I'm talking to Mo.
Sorry, Mo.
You don't mind. You tell everybody there in Ohio there's a horseshoe visit coming from Urban's old friend. And I can't wait for it. Thanks for the call, Mo. You hang in there. Call back again, please. Will you, please? There you go. That's Mo in Ohio. I have just received word about tomorrow's program. Kurt Warner's already on it. Sean William Scott is on it.
Nice.
Jesse Palmer and all his hair to talk about hair.
Amazing.
Which is, you know, infuriating, but I like Jesse so much, I said, okay. he's on Wednesday's show. We have a fourth guest just added. And I don't usually start shows with guests, but this is when the guest is available. And I said, okay.
Oh.
His name's Mike Tomlin.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
Coach T.
Whoa.
He's just been added. We start Wednesday's show with Mike Tomlin.
How about that?
Save your time.
We got Bill Cowher today.
What?
You know, we might have a seance and have Chuck Noll on Thursday.
I got to make some calls to the 412. Let people know.
Yes. Let the people know, sir. Let the people know.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.